everybody, what's going on? Josh Wigler here. It's time for more Succession podcasting here on Post Show Recap. Get that boar on the floor as we are going to be talking about season 3, episode 3, The Disruption. Feedback. We got your feedback. We're doing feedback shows. It's a thing. We're going to do 2 Succession podcasts every week. He demanded it. I don't think anyone actually literally demanded it, but we're having fun. The show is great. So many different people out here want to be talking about Succession. Who are we to deny the people? And I'm so psyched about this one because it's not the first time we've talked about Succession, but it's the first time we've talked about Succession on a podcast in, gosh, 2 years at this point. It's been a minute. My memory of the last time I spoke with this guy about Succession, we discussed how we did a Manscaped ad on one of our Succession podcasts that traumatized his children. Hopefully, no further trauma to occur as we bring back Survivor veteran, Succession podcast veteran, Dominic Abate. Dom, everyone's cool, like no one's listening, right? Like the kids are out of the room.
I locked them all out because I realized that Succession podcasts are R-rated and definitely.
You just don't know. Like the podcast, like R-rated, like I think we're like in PG-13 territory, but it could, you never know when it's going to go full effing beast.
Every episode I watch, I feel like I need a bath after it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like Kendall, after he's raked his father across the coals publicly, needs to just like get into an empty bathtub. That's you, or
exactly.
Are you turning the water on?
No, I'm definitely turning the water on.
Yeah. It's a filthy show.
It's a filthy show. And it's so weird because my 3 favorite shows on television right now, I believe you're a fan of all 3, and yeah. Succession is one. Yep. And I know this is not currently airing, but recently season 2 of Ted Lasso. And yep. I only just got into Ted Lasso like,
oh wow,
6 weeks ago.
Oh, so you binged it. You binged the whole thing.
Binged it twice.
Wow. Yeah, that happens.
It's so good.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then The Morning Show.
Oh, I'm behind on The Morning Show.
I am. I'm up to date, and it's good. It's still good. So for me, these are like the best writing in TV for me, like that, you know, things that interest me, keep my interest. These 3 shows are my faves, but Succession, like I said,
I feel like there's a through line there. Like there's the Apple TV connection for Morning Show and Ted Lasso. And I think like Succession and Morning Show both dealing with news
and the corporate environment and the nasty things that go on in the corporate world.
But then I'm trying to figure out what's connecting Succession to Ted Lasso, because like one show is like aggressively positive and one show is like aggressively nasty.
Well, after I watch an episode of Succession, I need to watch an episode of Ted Lasso to cleanse the soul.
I totally get it. How would Ted do? Would Ted be able to make short work of everybody at Waystar Royco? Would like his overwhelming positivity be able to like take down Logan Roy, or would Logan Roy bring Ted Lasso all the way down to the mat? How does that shake out?
It's like you can't even fathom it. It's like complete antithesis, right? Yeah. You have the filthiest, most cruel Roy family and the nicest, gentle-hearted Ted Lasso. I don't even know what would happen if you blended those 2 in the same mixer.
I just want to watch Roy Kent dunk on all these people. Like I would love to see Roy Kent be set loose
the best
on basically any one of them. Would be fantastic. He would suffer none of these fools.
So I didn't mean to take us down these other avenues, but I just wanted to let you know what I've been watching the last few months, weeks, whatever.
Well,
maybe
you know, like we've been talking about Succession. Like we talked about Succession, you know, years ago towards the end of season 2. I think you and I were hitting the L to the OG stuff.
Oh
back
my
then.
God.
You know, we are a world away from that because like Kendall has fully rebelled against the family, like very publicly. That was the big cliffhanger of season 2. And now we're like 3 episodes in to season 3. And like we have like a lot more of a sense of like what that looks like from both Logan's perspective of how he received all of that, and from Kendall's perspective as far as like what he's trying to do. And I say we're not like I say we're worlds away from L to the OG, but like, I don't know, Dom, didn't you get like big sort of like L to the OG energy out of Kendall right now? Like this is a guy who wants to be in the conversation. And I think by the end of this one, it's a lot of like, careful what you wish for. If you want to be a meme, like that's a double-edged sword.
This has been consuming my mind so much that we have to go back to season two. I actually have to go back to end of season one. End of season one, Kendall gets into this accident. Daddy comes and saves him from him getting in trouble for this terrible incident that took place. The beginning of season two, you have this soft, vulnerable Kendall who is just completely broken, doesn't know what to do with himself, and literally is at his father's side for every episode. And I felt like the entire season two was about the grooming process of Kendall. And it all came to culmination at the end when he told Kendall, "You're just not a killer, son." Right. And then his son goes out and murders his father.
Yes, publicly.
I mean,
public execution.
And I'm like, that was the greatest season in the world, because the whole time you think he's this scared little puppy. But what we weren't paying attention to was the fact that he was like grooming him into this machine. And I thought that was one of the greatest finales of a show, because it kind of caught us all off guard.
Yeah.
And that's what got me so fired up about season three coming up, because I was like, I can't wait to see what this maniac's up to now. And I'm disappointed.
Or
still intrigued. But like, where did the killer go? He's back to his old, I think I tweeted, his old insecure, has to make sure he's, you know, getting his glitter and make, you know,
he needs his family's approval, all of this.
What happened to this well-polished animal that was created at the end of season two? And why is he back here? Which takes me down a third dimension. And again, when I say third dimension theories, most people will say I'm going a little bit too far with it.
All right. Okay. Well, let's go down the rabbit hole. What are you thinking?
I am still trying to grasp whether or not it's all intentional.
Okay.
I have this theory that Wendell. Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Wendell
aging
on the brain.
Dr. Freud.
Kendall.
Wow.
Kendall, not Wendell. Holland. Right. Yeah. Kendall Holland or Wendell Roy.
Yeah.
So that Kendall may be self-sabotaging while also taking his father down, so that at the next shareholders meeting, everyone just votes them out, and that Sandy and Stewie win this proxy battle, walk in. But meanwhile, Kendall is in for all of it. Like, there's this side deal going on no one knows about. And that this is almost, he's almost imploding publicly so that nobody has faith in him, and that no one wants to give any of the Roy children or daddy the ability to run this company any further.
Yeah.
So this is where like my mind is really gone with it. But again, it's a, you know, dimensional theory.
Well, I think that one of the things this season has been really interesting, right? Like the pacing has been a thing that we've been talking about a lot, where like those first two episodes like all take place in like one, like, you know, pretty short period of time. Right. Like the second episode, like all of the siblings are together. Like it feels like that exact night, like, you know, like Shiv drives over and then everything, like they're fresh off the plane and like everybody's getting together and like talking through all that. And then this one is the one where it seems like some time has lapsed and we're getting to see like people sort of like settle into what this new ecosystem is. But I think like across those first two episodes, like you get that first one where like Kendall is like, he gives himself a minute to like take the dry bath and like try and like figure out what the hell he's going to do next. And then it's action stations. Like he's ready to go. He's getting the powerful lawyer. He's making his moves. But like fairly quickly in like episode two, like you see how much he wants his like siblings to be on board. He's still in episode three. It feels like he's still like fairly like quick and decisive in action. A lot of those actions seem like massively dicey and like deeply, deeply ego driven. But I think like, could that still be like, can that like, you know, dependency on his family, like the need for his love for his family, like, do we want to just like, you know, by the end of this episode, right? Like he's totally blown out. Like what Shiv does, like seems to like really, really mess with him.
Right.
But like, are we repeating history, Dom, if we go into episode four thinking that like, no, Kendall's just been like, his image has just been assassinated and he's just going to be totally neutered and he's not going to be able to do anything anymore. Like, is history repeating itself if we're like underestimating him in that regard and like not like taking into account that he still has a good amount of like business savvy in this situation, that he's not still like pretty strategically sound in some of these moves.
I still believe that season two happened for the reason to show us that he's been groomed.
Yeah.
And that these moves, like you said, they're still, even though some of them look messy from the outside looking in, they still are decisive. He's making these decisions on the fly, and he seems, the thing is, like, you'd never know with him. Like, he'll be on the phone with his attorney and he's like, you know, we could do something, right? We could call a raid. Can we call a raid? Right, we can, right? All right, I'll call you back. Bye. And it's like, and then all of a sudden a raid happens at the end of the episode. You're like, he definitely did that, right? That's definitely him. He pulled that off. And we don't know what happened in between. There were so many subtle little things that I picked up on rewatching this episode that I didn't see at all in the first watch.
Yeah.
And
it's a really rewarding show to rewatch. If people aren't rewatching it, like, do it, because like you will experience the episode totally different from like instance to instance. Like, there's no like two ways to like no two ways of watching Succession are the same right now.
But also, once you see the ending of an episode, it always like is the ending is always like the conclusion of like it's the outcome of a series of events that take place during the episode. So for me, once I got to the ending and I see the raid taking place, and you could kind of see Kendall's got like the smirk on his face a little bit, then I had to go back and see again, like, what transpired all these events. And I picked up on so many things that I missed the first watch. You know what I mean? Yeah. And like, there's a lot of meat in this episode. There's quite a bit of meat. And I'm just trying to see here, like, the one thing that throws me off with Kent, like, this good tweet, bad tweet stuff,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Like, it's hysterical, and it's a lot to do with his image and making sure, you know, just making sure he's perceived in a certain way in the public's eye.
He really cares about that. Like,
oh, for sure.
Really authentically, like, this dude wants to be loved. And it makes sense, like, for the whole Roy family, that they were all like deprived of that, like, growing up.
Oh, for sure.
That is like a central focus for so many of them. But for like Kendall, yeah, like, he wants to be like, you know, he wants to be like G.I. Joe out here taking
down
Cobra.
But if you listen, he makes a comment that's what got me thinking. And it was where he said, like, everyone was kind of laughing at him when that show came on. I forget, you know, the one where
Sophie's show. Yeah.
Sophie's show. Yeah. Oh, the pussy.
The disruption.
So he says something like, I no longer care. This is like, I am who I am. He says these words, and it's in the past, like, he was always kind of like, what do people perceive me? But now he's kind of embracing it. Like, yeah, great. Like, he's throwing himself into the lion's den. He wants to take this woman on her show and say, yeah, go ahead, come at me. It's a good conversation. Let's talk about it. So I think there is something different this time around than in the past. But you're right. The entire family is completely obsessed with their image. And a lot of it probably has to do with the daddy issue, that they didn't get their hugs and they didn't get the love. And I mean, Logan Roy is this son of a bitch.
Logan's the one who's like complaining that people aren't hugging him enough now.
But like I said, so there's that, right? The other thing I wanted to say, like, is like, how much, how many episodes have we watched where the siblings are just tormenting each other, right? Like, busting each other's jobs.
Like, almost all of them. No?
Every episode, they're just coming at each other. I don't know how any of them take each other serious. Like, if someone did have a serious proposition, like Kendall had last episode, even if they told him, yeah, Kendall, we're on board, how does he even take any of that seriously? They've screwed each other over 1,000 times.
Right.
And the father, too, Logan. Logan screwed Shiv over. She was supposed to be CEO. She's supposed to be this. And then he's like, back off. You're not there yet. You know, I'll let you know when it's time. But now he's back and talking to Shiv, and he's like, Shiv, you're in my corner, right? You know? And she's like, sure, Dad. Yeah. How did they take each other serious after they screwed each other 1,000,000 times over? And it baffles me that they just keep staying in that family circle, though, because they really have nowhere else to go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're like this, this broken family that just doesn't know how to live in the outside world. They only know how to live in this demented world that they've created.
Well, don't they have two places to go right now? Like, you could go with Logan or you can go with Kendall. Or there, I guess there's option three, which is like you could go your own way. And like, it feels like no one is willing to like permanently affix themselves to either Logan or Kendall, because they all want option three, but they don't want option three until options one and two kill each other.
Right.
So like that seems to be like the whole Shiv arc that's going on right now.
There's a Shiv arc there, but there's also a Greg arc there.
Yes.
Because he is, you know, on Kendall's side because Kendall's giving him a watch.
Giving him the watch or is he giving him the watch hookup? Just to draw in some feedback real quick, Sam had asked, he wanted to know from you, Dom, what's the most expensive, completely useless thing you've bought? $40,000 watch. Is that your style? Would you ever do that?
No way.
Yeah, no, you
know. No way. Yeah. I'm not, even like nice cars, I don't. That's not my thing either. Like a nice dependable car.
Yeah.
I like some, you know, I'll drive a badass car, but cars, watches. Look, I would like a nice watch. I would like a nice car, but I don't need a collection of them.
Yeah.
That makes sense. What's the most expensive, ridiculous thing I've ever bought?
Completely useless is the exact phrase.
I don't know. I don't really buy big items.
Things with utility too.
You're
not gonna get a completely useless.
Also, once you have kids, I mean, it's very rare you buy yourself something
completely useless thing.
Yeah.
Not for you specifically.
Oh, sure. Exactly.
Like that opens it up perhaps a little bit. But yeah. Like Greg's even Greg is thinking, everybody's thinking things through. Tom, who's Tom talking to? Do you have Tom theories right now?
I have a lot of Tom theories and I have Greg. Let's go back to Greg for a second.
Yeah, that's good.
So first, Greg is hanging with Kendall.
Yes.
But Tom is coming into the office. He also goes into the office at Waystar and Tom's coming in and he demotes him into this ugly new office. And he's like, you know, Greg, if you want to come with me tonight to meet this attorney, I guess he's going to meet an attorney to, you know, weigh out options. I'd like for you to come. And he's like, I'm good, you know, whatever. And he acts as if like he's not really aligned with Tom at all. But he's the one that called Tom this episode to tell Tom that Kendall's coming to Waystar.
Yeah.
You have to, like, that's something I didn't pick up the first time watching it, but the second time I did. So wait a second. So these two are not working together, and yet Greg's throwing him a bone.
Yeah.
You know
they're
what I'm
still
saying?
They're still tight. Like,
so there's still
they still smell each other as like outsiders in this world.
Exactly. There's also my theory with Tom and Shiv, and this is another third dimension theory.
Let's do it. Open it up.
But you saw what Tom did, right? He lied to Shiv and said, "Yeah, I met with the attorney, and I gave him this John Doe scenario hypothetical." And he laid it all out for her. And once he laid it out, he gauged her reaction to it. After he said, "I think I should sacrifice myself to your father and let your dad know that he can take me out and use me as the punching bag for this whole Cruises issue. I'm the guy. He can do it." And at first she's like, "Oh no, Tom, you shouldn't do that." And then she's like, "But it might gain some favor with my father. Maybe it's a good idea." So that was his reaction gauging of number one.
Right.
Then he takes it to Logan, says the same thing, and kind of gets a similar reaction from Logan. "Oh no, you have nothing to worry about. But thanks, Tom. I really appreciate it." And that's when Tom realizes, "I'm screwed.
Yeah,
I'm dead in the dead in the water." And that's when he makes the actual call to the attorney.
So you read that, because I think I read that the same way, that like Tom like takes this to Shiv, takes this to Logan, to like basically, how are they gonna, like, are they gonna like immediately be like, "No way, Tom, no, we're not gonna throw you to the wolves," or are they gonna be like, "Oh, that's actually interesting," you know? Like, and if it's the second thing, then he knows, like, okay, I can't like stay here.
Absolutely. Yeah. But it's funny how they both kind of reacted in the same Roy way.
Yeah.
First, it's like, "What are you talking about? Don't be silly." And then the light bulbs went on and they're both like "But maybe this could work."
Yeah.
And that's actually what happened. That's exactly what Tom was doing. I mean, if I'm wrong, I'd be surprised. Maybe I am. But once he got gauged their reactions equal, like both of them, that's when he said, "Okay, now I have to call the attorney and get this consultation." He never got it prior to that.
Yeah.
That's spelled out pretty clearly that he was waiting to tell them both his plan to see how they react. And then he's like, all right, now I know what I'm in store for, because they both kind of told me they're ready to sacrifice me. So now I believe Tom is ready to take them down and maybe do some type of, immunity issue, immunity plan here, where he's going to make sure he's free and clear, but he's going to spill the beans on everything. And this is where the third dimension theory comes into play, is that we don't really know how far back the history of Shiv and Tom go, right? At the beginning of season one, they're kind of dating. Are they engaged at the beginning?
I think that they're, are they engaged at the start? I actually don't remember if they're like full on engaged.
Right. Would you say it's impossible? Because it's also the same exact time that the other head of Cruises retires.
He's not. He's thinking of popping the question. He wants to get like Logan's permission while Logan is sick. Yeah.
But at this point, he's been pulled into the family.
Yes.
And then kind of at the beginning of the show, he's also promoted to, head of Cruises.
Yeah.
I mean, is it crazy to think that they handpicked this guy?
Oh, wow. That he was like deliberately selected as a fall guy.
This family is that sick. Now, that's what I'm saying. Is the show that's pretty devious.
Like, that's pretty messed up. That's my third dimension theory. It's interesting to consider this. Like, I don't think so, but like, just to like play this out, because like the more I like think about it, the more this like, I don't know if this feels like a thing that Succession, the show, would necessarily do, but I think it feels like a thing that like the Roys would do,
right?
Which is like marry somebody who's kind of like a loser idiot who, like, if that person died, you wouldn't cry for too long.
Right. And that's what he is. He's been a punching bag to Shiv the entire show. Like, I mean, she just she cheats on him every opportunity she gets. She shows him no respect at all, and he says yes to everything. He's like the perfect candidate to just come in there and be their sacrificial lamb. And it's almost like they saw this coming from this, perspective many moons ago, and they were like, he's perfect candidate.
I mean, if they were going to do that, then why didn't they just like throw him onto the fire last season? Like, why wasn't this a pretty easy choice?
Is it because
like Shiv like developed feelings for like actual authentic feelings for Tom? And so like, she is the one who like stands up for him in the end in season two. Is like,
this is true.
Like, just not Tom, like, is what she basically says. Like, just not Tom, like anybody, but not Tom.
That's a fair point. That's a fair point. See, that's why I call it my third dimension theory.
You know, like, I don't think the show would go like that deep. But I get the impulse, because like these people are horrific. And like it was on the last podcast, Jess was talking about how like, because I had like come in there being like, are we sure that like Kendall blasted Nirvana? Like, are we not thinking that somebody
else?
It's
so
might
funny
have done
you
it?
Say that, because I thought the same thing the first like. For so long, I was convinced Kendall's the one that was blasting Nirvana. But
she points out, like, Jess was talking about how Kendall like sends out like his like assistant to like go pick stuff up. And it's like, so that's probably the speakers. Like,
well, that's right. That's exactly what he said. He said, I just airdropped you a laundry list of items.
Right.
And then right after that, you see that those JBL Party Box 300s, by the way, I have
one.
Is
that what those are?
Yes, I have one. And it's amazing. Those speakers, perfect. Wow. Yeah. But
how
I was thinking,
portable are they? Like, how did they like just like drop those in the middle of the town hall?
You plug them in to charge them.
And then they're battery operated. So like,
you could keep it plugged in, or you could keep it plugged in. But if you charge it overnight, that thing will stay juiced for 8 straight hours.
Yeah.
So I use that in my backyard, and I move it around the property depending on where we're hanging out and this and that. And the thing cranks. So they did not exaggerate the sound, the amount of sound, because I think they had 2 of them going inside the.
That's a mighty endorsement.
Well, you couldn't tell it was a JBL Party Box unless you owned one and knew that little red logo. But
podcast listeners are getting a good tip right now.
Let's explore another possibility on the speakers, because before she went in to give the big speech, they were contemplating what questions to answer for the town hall. And they were saying, we can't answer any of these questions. These are all disgruntled employees.
Yeah.
It was like some really vicious attacks and questioning. So they opted to use their own line of questioning that's more of a safe space for them. So it's possible that a disgruntled employee or a group of them.
I thought this too. Like I thought it could be like people who are working there and who are dissatisfied and that this was like an internal thing. But like it's certainly at the very least like positioned that it was Kendall. Like the
Agreed.
Boxes are in his office.
Agreed.
Shiv like reacts the way that she does, like you know, like she like retaliates against Kendall, right? Like basically like treating this as though like, okay, so like Kendall did this to me. Like this is like this is like my brother's comeuppance. That's, you know, like direct response
now,
to this. But like my head went to this exact same place of like, I think it could be people who worked at the.
But wait a second. So just remind my timing. Did the song come on after the public announcement about what she said about Kendall?
No, beforehand.
Before.
So she's doing the town hall on the same day that Kendall comes to work. Kendall comes work. Right. It's a huge to do. He rolls up into his office. He sends his guy out to go pick up some stuff. The town hall happens. Nirvana plays. He's nowhere to be found afterwards. He's MIA. He's going to be on the show on the disruption. Right. And during that time, so like between the end of the town hall and before the show airs,
right?
So like this is like a pretty quick period of time.
Yeah,
she drafts the statement and sends it out without the other siblings signing on. So this is a full on solo attack.
Yes, full on solo attack. And that was another interesting part of the show when
were
she
you
was
surprised that no one signed on. That Roman and Connor were like, not this time. Like, no, we're not doing this one.
I think it's just like more of the same. Like they don't ever back each other up on anything. You know what I mean? Like they're always afraid to take that step because they're afraid it's going to upset Dad. I mean, in this situation, I think Logan was upset that they didn't sign on because he wanted some more support from the family to discredit Kendall. I think they just love to not give into each other.
Yeah.
They don't ever want another one to know like, wow, you requested something of me and I did what you asked. It's always just like, F you, you know, I'm doing my own thing. You do your thing. Don't involve me.
The thing that's going to be hard, this is why I think sometimes the show like draws these very natural survivor parallels, Dom, is because like there can only be one winner, you know?
Right.
And so like, you know, these people are like, I'll make moves with you up to a point, but like, that's not my interest. And like, I'm trying to get, you know, I want to be CEO. I want the $1 million, you know? Yeah. And so like, no one is willing to do this, but I'm really curious about like Roman specifically in this episode, because he does like the puff piece with Dad, but he's like seemingly really on board with Team Logan right now because Jerry's in the position that she's in.
Right.
But like he also wasn't willing to just like kill his brother publicly like that. So this was feedback that we got from Tom, not Wams Gams. Tom had written and said, it seems that Shiv's locked in with Logan's side, but Roman might be still keeping his options open. What do you think would push Roman to Kendall's side? So my question to follow that up to you, Dom, is like, do you see anything that would push Roman to like being more like pro his brother right now? Or is that not really, is that pathway kind of closed at the moment?
Well, Roman has a history of just always giving in to his father, and his father time and time again has publicly or privately humiliated his son.
Yes.
Just again, completely demeans his son and just makes him feel like shit once again.
Yeah.
I think what's going to end up happening, if it does happen, it's just going to be like the straw that breaks the camel's back. His father's going to do something one more time. And Roman's just gonna finally come out of his shell and just tell his father to go F himself.
It's the Jerry stuff, right? Like Jerry's going down. Am I off base? This is like I'm really like I've been out here beating the drum of like for all of you who love J. Smith Cameron as Jerry, like enjoy it while it lasts. Like this is like her being CEO is a nightmare if you're a Jerry fan
because
and like, she cannot hold this position. She's going to be thrown under the bus. That'll be what greases Roman, right? Like he's not going to be able to take that.
Right. Especially because he thinks he had part in her being in that position that she's in now, right? He made the suggestion to his dad and all of a sudden it happened and he feels like he had some play in that move there. So yeah, I would imagine that the Jerry situation may be that, you know. And Jerry, I mean, she didn't want this position several episodes ago, right? She's like, no, keep this shit. I don't want it. Yeah. But and it's funny too, how now you see
you don't say no though when the
you don't say no.
Calling.
But I love how some of the other characters, I don't forget the names of some of the other characters, some of the top executives,
like Carl and Hugo. But
she's giving Carl like orders, and he's like, I'll play around with that idea, you know, and then walks into Logan's office. He's like, well, you have a problem with the chain of command? How do you deal with that, like being in that position? And then she's hovering over him, and it's just such a weird environment. But that's how you know she's just there for like a temporary seat, and at some point they're going to bloody her, right? Sure,
badly.
And I think, like you said, I think that'll be one of the reasons that Roman does realize that no matter what he does or says, he's never going to win his love from his daddy, and he's never going to win the position of CEO. And maybe going with Big Brother has more appeal to it. And also, that reminds me of another theory regarding Tom and Kendall, the Tom Kendall alliance.
You think that exists, or you think it will
exist? I think it's beginning to.
It's beginning to.
Because Tom is unhappy with the response he got from his wife and his father-in-law. He's already on the calls with attorneys to figure out a way out. Kendall specifically tells him in their quick little meeting at the office, I never had a beef with you.
Right.
You can have another life, he says to him.
Right.
This is the words, you know what I mean? You can have a different life. You don't have to live.
Another life is possible, brother.
Yeah, another life is
possible.
Very
lost. I'll see you in another life, brother.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought it meant, you know, we can work something out that doesn't put you, you know, at the bottom of this barrel. You know, we can keep you here and alive, and you'll thrive with me and Team Kendall.
Oh yeah, that's definitely he tells him, he's like, I always liked you, Tom.
Right.
You know, like
It seemed like a real gentle back and forth. And Tom, as he had to, kind of was like, oh, I'm doing well, I'm doing fine, I'm good, you know, keep your offers to yourself. But that's because he kind of knew people were watching him. But I guarantee that thought and that you know, that invitation is swirling around in his head. And I think you're gonna see something develop from that.
Yeah. Who do you think Tom's talking to when he's making the call, though? Like, do you think that he's talking to, like, is it just like yet another independent counsel? Like, are we now, like, how lawyered up are we? How many like different lawyerly characters are we getting on this show? Do you think he's talking to the government? Like, where do you think Tom's at when he's like, you know, because that's before he talks to Kendall. Is like he leaves the room after that conversation with Logan. He takes the call, or he makes the call, rather. Like, who do you think he's going after in that moment?
I honestly, I mean, my first reaction was that it's everything he told Shiv he did already, but he's actually doing it afterwards. So in other words, I thought it was another, I know he has corporate counsel, right? The company provided them with counsel, but now he's like, okay, I can now see that my head is on the block here. So time to call my own independent lawyer. So I think it's just that. But yeah, he's probably going to go through that channel first, but he's going to end up being in a room with the Department of Justice and laying everything out at some point, right? I mean, he has to. Or maybe Kendall provides another avenue where he doesn't have to, or maybe he does sacrifice someone else, Tom.
Yeah.
And then comes back and maintains a position in the new, you know, administration or whatever you'd call it of Kendall Roy.
Yeah.
But I don't know, because all my theories are conflicting with each other. So I don't know how to really absorb and take on some of these things that I'm watching, because like I said, I think one hand, I think that Sandy and Stewie are working Kendall like a three-way project here to take everyone down. But then another thought of mine says that Kendall really is going to take this thing to the next level. And everything we saw in season two and him being groomed really is like a way to show us that he can handle the job and that he's ready to take on position as the head of this company.
Yeah.
So I'm back and forth. I'm conflicted the same way the siblings are conflicted. I'm conflicted.
You're in there too. All right. Let's throw this to an ad. We're going to do a quick ad break here. Not Manscaped. Dom, don't worry. I think Manscaped dropped us really quickly after Succession season two. We're going to throw it to our sponsors. We will be right back. All right. We are back. See, it was so quick. It was really, really short. Really short ad break for us in the real time. I had this that came our way from Aaron. It's like you went all the way down the line with Game of Thrones, right? You did Game of Thrones all the way through?
I've watched it two full times, yes.
Two full times?
Yes.
Like when you say full time, like you watched it in the real time and then like
I watched
like have you rewatched it twice or you just watched like one of those full times is like the native run of the show?
I watched it once in real time and then rewatched it in a binge.
Okay.
Like not a binge, but like I mean
a
over the
course
maybe a 2 to 3 month.
Did you do this during the past like 2 years, like during COVID stuff?
I think I did. Yeah, I did.
Wow, you're the only one. It's you. You did.
I did it probably within the last 6 or 7 months, maybe.
Okay. All right. Nice. So I want to like just the requisite, like we may be about to get into some Game of Thrones spoilers. So if anyone hasn't watched Game of Thrones.
Oh, stop.
I assume that you have. I'm just trying to be kind. You know, maybe skip forward a couple minutes. But this came our way from Aaron, and I thought this was provocative. I think the way Aaron phrased it maybe didn't like exactly point to like where I'm taking it. But Aaron wrote to us and said, "Is Connor Roy, the equivalent to Bran Stark? Rambles on about nonsense. He's not key to the story yet, but he's always hanging around." And then Aaron didn't write this part, and this is the spoiler. Dom, is there a world where Connor's the king? Are we overlooking Connor Roy?
Yeah, I mean, that thought has crossed my mind 100 times. How could it not, right? He's still a Roy at the
That's
end of
a
the
nightmare.
Day.
All these people suck, but he really is the worst one.
I think he would become president before he became CEO of that company.
What happened to his presidential campaign?
Right? That's what I'm saying.
Has he officially suspended that yet?
Something.
I feel like we got to see that concession speech at some point.
How is it that they don't even mention it? I mean, and is it because his father's company is basically taking a dive?
Right.
So I guess he's got to just put his little hobby to the side for a while.
Well,
you know,
Dad asked him to stop. He said, "You're embarrassing us." Kendall like set the world on fire, and then Logan had to like backpedal and be like, "That was pretty rude of me." I want to make sure we're solid. And like,
yeah, exactly.
You know, Connor's like out, like, what did he say? Like $100 million or something insane like that. So like he thinks, I don't know, like the way that they talk about money feels like money isn't even real.
It's crazy.
It really is nuts.
It's so crazy.
I'm waiting to find out, like, cause like sometimes like I don't know where to land with Connor right now, Dom. Like sometimes like he seems like he's being like really kind towards Kendall, and then Kendall's a dick to him. And then sometimes like it seems like Connor is like really loyal to Dad, but like is he just gonna go wherever the money is? I don't know.
He just seems like one of those people that lives like whatever the latest and greatest idea he comes up with, that's what he's going to pursue and pursue it hard until he gets tired and bored of it. And then he finds the next thing to do. And I don't think it really matters who in the family is involved or around when it happens, but he needs to constantly be entertained.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He can't like just sit around. So he'll either, you know, running for like, that was the greatest thing ever seeing that. And I mean, it's Cameron Frye. It's my guy from when I grew up.
Let my Cameron go. Let my Connor
go. So having him and seeing, just seeing the way, like he's so unstable. Like he's just so unstable. You don't know what you're going to get. So yeah, I don't ever think he's going to be king of Waystar.
Yeah.
But,
Waystaros.
Yeah. Look at you. Yeah, you're just throwing him out there.
No, I'm sick, dude. This is like the 12th hour of podcasting that I've done in like 12 hours, it feels like. So like
that's like
this is just what happens to my brain at this point.
That's how I felt about being in my truck today.
I'm sure. Yeah.
I was just like, get me out of this thing. I'm in this pod. I need to get out of this pod.
I know it. Yeah. I don't know. I'm curious to see where Connor is Connor gonna play into stuff, or is he really just a joke? But like, I feel like we may be unwise.
I really do hope that I hope that every character regarding like the siblings and the father all have a good like closer, like good closure. I don't want it. Like you said, I don't want Connor just to like be dangling out there as the show comes to an end. I want to see him go out with a big roar, a big splash.
They'll wrap him up.
And what do you think? I'm hearing like, we heard a comment from Brian Cox, Logan Roy say, we think the end of the show is near, right? Like,
So the show's been renewed for a fourth season.
Oh my God.
That's official. If I'm breaking news to you, Dom, it gives me great pleasure to do so. So it has been renewed for a fourth season. And I feel like if that was the final season, HBO would have said so. Like, I feel like we're doing season four. It's the official announcement from HBO. Like, if that's the final season, I think HBO is saying we're doing season four and it's the end of the show. Right. So I think we've got two seasons for sure would be my guess. Like, this is the hottest show out there right now. Like, nothing, like, at least like in terms of like cultural conversation, it's in no danger of like ratings cancellation.
Right.
It is only in danger. And it is like actual, like legitimate danger of like Jesse Armstrong, the creator, being like, the story ends after four seasons or the story ends after five seasons.
Right. The only thing I'll say is starting to feel a little redundant. Is the kind of sibling bashing.
Yeah.
Like, it's funny, especially some of the shit that comes out of Roman's mouth.
Uh-huh.
It's funny. But I just feel like, how much of that can they take?
Yeah.
Like, as a sibling, like if I had that banter with my siblings, like after a while, I would just be like, go away. I can't be near you anymore. Yeah. So I feel like exactly what we were talking about, like with Roman, like there has to be a breaking point soon because he can't just keep sitting there taking beatings from his father season after season. And he's just like this kind of, you know, skating around every topic and playing it safe and not, you know, not really diving in too deep because he doesn't want to be stuck in a certain spot. So he's like always just floating his options. At some point, Roman needs to choose what he's doing.
Yeah.
Right. Even Shiv, same thing. She's always kind of like, sure, dad. Yeah. Okay. Sure. Yeah. I trust you. Sure, dad. But he's like toying with her too. She seems too smart of a character to put up with that. Yeah. And I feel like in season one, even she like didn't take shit from her father. Why is she all of a sudden taking it so much?
Now, you know? Now he's like dangling over the thing over
the
her
carrot.
Head that she actually
the carrot,
wants.
Yeah,
so she wants the carrot. I think this has been like sort of my like developing hot take was like I think it's, you know, we keep forgetting because the show takes place over such a quick period of time relatively that like Logan had like a life-threatening health scare not terribly long ago. And also
you're talking about in the show.
Yeah, exactly. Right, and like not for nothing. Like Kendall's had some health scares of his own and like of like both like the drug abuse, substance abuse variety, but also like the mental health stuff.
Right.
I think it's hard for me to picture the show without Logan or without Kendall. But I wonder if there's like if there's something coming where like to your point about like it's getting old to see like all of the siblings bickering. What happens like when you unplug one of the central characters from the show in a permanent way? This isn't like The Sopranos. It's not Breaking Bad. No one's getting blown up with a wheelchair and stepping out of an office with half their face off. Like that's not happening on Succession.
Right.
But what happens if like Kendall decides to leave? You know, what happens if something horrible happens like that? And what does that do to the characters that are left behind? I'm definitely nervous that the show could go there at some point, and that could be like a narrative answer to like maybe something that you're touching on that some people might be feeling is like a little bit of like the stagnance of the bickering and everything like that. What happens that like obviously like their lives have all been really shaken up by what Kendall has done, but there is still, because Kendall is alive and they are all still alive, there are opportunities for people to like pursue healing. That's not going to happen because all of them are trash monsters. But like what happens when that opportunity is gone because somebody is literally dead, somebody is gone. That I'm nervous about, and I have been like thinking about that more and more, that like I can see a world where season three ends without Kendall Roy specifically.
So he's your pick.
I think Logan leaving is also obviously an option on the table, but like, I feel like I can imagine the show without Kendall a little easier than I can imagine the show without Logan. Even though it would be hard to imagine it without either of them.
Yeah.
I think like that might be like, you know, not a season three, could be like a season four type of thing. But like, I feel like this is not going to end well for somebody. Eventually.
Yeah. But I just don't know how, like, because even in season two was the bear hug, right?
Yes. No, season one is the bear hug at the end.
At the end. And then it kind of leads into the beginning of season two. But that's kind of the same thing. Dad versus Kendall.
Just done it a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like that story has got to change at some point. Something has to give, because I don't know how much longer. If we keep going down that path, and then all the filler in between are the siblings coming at each other and bashing each other, that's when you might start to lose some people. But the fact that they have a season four coming tells me that they probably have a good storyline coming up, and we should just.
I think like they're not going to stretch that. Like the there seems to be like a really like authentic level of like craft and care behind the show.
I agree.
Jesse Armstrong talks about the show. Like when he does interviews, Jesse Armstrong's interviews are hilarious to read because he doesn't want to tell you shit. Like he's like, the show told you the answer to this question. Like he's like, I'm not going to tell you anything. Just watch the actors do their thing. Yeah. Their acting is telling you the answer to the question that you're asking right now. Like that's not a guy who is doing Succession for 10 seasons.
Right.
You know, like that's a guy who's going to do Succession for as long as he thinks the story warrants it.
I agree. And you know, it's funny too, because this episode specifically really did lay a lot of groundwork for the show to move in different directions now, right? The feds are raiding the place. Tom's about to possibly either sacrifice himself or spill the beans. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it seems like there's some nice fun change coming to the show and the dynamic of the show. And even Greg, I want to see which side of the coin he lands on, because he can't figure it out. But like, is there not a scenario where Greg takes over as
we floated that. Skip ahead again if you're not a Game of Thrones completist. We're gonna because Greg is sort of like the brand, right? Like
he's
super tall, like a beanstalk, kind of comes out of nowhere.
I think everyone wants that to happen too.
This show is not like a crowd pleaser in the
it has to be the
cultural temperature. Stick the thermometer up the butt. Like they're not gonna just give us CEO Greg because we love Cousin Greg.
People always tell this funny, you know, scenario like on Survivor, like how great would it be if someone went out there and just played dumb the whole time and then made it to the final three and got dragged to the end because they thought they were just, you know, getting, you know, strung along, and then at final tribal they show up as this really sophisticated, smart person who just blows the doors off the place. If Greg ever did make it there, that would be the way he does, right? Like the whole time he's had it in the bag. But we know that's not true, but it's a fun.
It would be great. I would love that. Let's get some more feedback here. We've got some fun stuff. This was from Lisa. Lisa said, I think that Kendall might be part Australian. I think Lisa is Australian. And Lisa says, we would totally play good tweet, bad tweet here in Australia. I would also watch the video he watched at a party. We would probably put bets on it. Is it English humor? Is it Australian humor? Because I wouldn't cringe. I would laugh. I was thinking about you during good tweet, bad tweet, because I feel like you have like the sense of confidence that like on like a Survivor Ghost Island night, like I could imagine like at the Abate household, you putting up good tweet, bad tweet. How much of your own press would you read?
I mean,
this whole moment though did feel like extremely like Survivor of like, don't listen to the podcasts.
Right.
Don't do it. Don't go on Reddit.
Don't go on. Don't read this stuff because it's just going to bring you down and all that.
Don't read it.
I know. And I would say, you know, I have a thicker skin than most. So I can go on and read you're anything. Yeah, yeah, I'm fine. Nothing's going to knock me out of commission. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're
and that good. Doesn't, but that doesn't apply to everyone. Some people, you know, it could have a strong effect, and it's curious. So what
Man,
was
some of the things that they said about Kendall? Like,
that's what I'm saying.
We're like horrible,
horrible.
He's got a substance abuse problem, mental health issues. And really, I just feel sorry for him. It's like, oh, bullseye. Right. Like, just shot him right out of the sky. But the one that killed me was like Bootleg Ross. I don't know why that destroyed me. Like Bootleg David Schwimmer. That's like the kind of thing where like when like, you know, the writers are now like writing to the actor who's playing right. the character. Like,
right.
like because these people have to work together, but like they have to have like as actors, like thick enough skin to like tolerate like sometimes like jokes at like their physical expense.
Right.
And so like calling him like Bootleg David Schwimmer, like it's kind of like really mean to Jeremy Strong. But certainly like Kendall loved it. He's like, oh, what's good? Good tweet.
I think you'd be surprised how many of these actors come up with these ideas themselves sometimes too, right?
Probably.
You know, like, you should call me this because growing up, everyone thought I looked like Ross, you know, whatever. But yeah, it's funny. How does it affect? But is Kendall, like the way he's embracing it, right? Like it's an act, right? He's really crying inside.
I think like there's a degree to which like maybe he thinks it's funny and he doesn't get it because like he like we don't like we're not watching him like, you know, be coked up, or at least we're not watching him like do coke. We may be watching him be coked up and we're just not like seeing the drug scenes like him actually like taking.
Well, that's what I was curious about, too, because in the limo, I specifically watched to see if there was a cocktail in their hand or
like he's drinking.
He had his phone in his hand. Yeah. No, like even Naomi, right?
Isn't he drinking or no?
Oh, you know, I don't think
I mean, like. I don't like the show certainly hasn't done like because we've seen it when like Kendall is taking drugs, like we've seen him take drugs. We're not like watching him do that right now, but he's definitely like behaving in like a very similar way. And the sad thing about like someone with like Kendall's addiction issues is like he doesn't get the benefit of the doubt. Right. Like, you know, like the way that he's at this point. So I guess we don't know. I wanted to play good tweet, bad tweet with
That's
you,
a
but
fair
I couldn't
point.
Find enough like good tweets and bad tweets. Let's see if I've got. I thought this one was funny. This is from Roy Donk 14 on Twitter. Had been watching Succession for a couple weeks now. Still don't know which one is Succession. I think that's bad tweet. let's see. What are some other tweets? This was a tweet that was just confusing. I've never watched Succession, but I'm sick of seeing the Succession guy every time I turn on HBO. Who's the Succession guy?
Jeremy Strong.
Is it?
Oh, absolutely. If you go to the app, you see Kendall Roy on the main page.
So that one is Succession. That's Succession. We gotta go tell Roy Donk we found him. There's a lot of bad tweets out there about Succession. This was a good one. Was me walking around the financial district seeing miserable businessmen in suits after watching Succession. And then it's just a picture of SpongeBob SquarePants watching Squidward walk around very, very depressed.
That's pretty funny.
I thought that was pretty good.
You know, it really, the show really is an acquired taste, though.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, not only the characters are an acquired taste, but the theme also, you know, corporate takeovers and, you know, proxy battles, like that's hard for, I think, a lot of people to understand some of that. I think I only have some knowledge of it because I actually have a bachelor's degree in finance and I had a lot to do with mergers and acquisitions in college. And, you know, so for me, that's why I think I took to it, because the topic did interest me.
Yes.
But then you throw some filthy characters in the mix and it's just that much better.
Yeah.
You know,
I thought that this bit of feedback we got was hilarious. I have no idea how you're going to respond to it. But Josh Lemer wrote in and said, I don't know if Dom is the right guest for this question, but I wanted to ask, are we shipping anyone? Are we shipping anyone on Succession, Dom? Like, are you like...
what do we mean? What do we mean?
Do you want to see anybody get together? Like, I don't know. I'm shipping Tom in diplomatic immunity. Like, I want Tom to be protected.
Am I shipping him a gift?
Yeah.
Okay, because I didn't want to say something like politically incorrect. I've never heard the word shipping before.
Are you shipping? Who do we stan?
I do love Tom. And I would love to see him destroy the whole family.
Yeah.
I really would. Greg, you know, Greg and Tom. I think Greg and Tom should be co-CEOs. Come on.
I think we're shipping that.
I think and like, who are your favorite characters? Like, top two.
Oh, man. Top. I mean, like, I think
Roman's up there.
I think my favorite character is Kendall, because he's just so complicated.
Yeah.
I'm never totally sure where he's at. And like the whole off season between 2 and 3 was such an exciting time, because like, he's coming in hot, he's ready to go. And then like, so quickly, he's just been like, you know, like a paper tiger of narcissism. And like, that's fascinating to me. And like, but then to your point, like, well, what does he have back pocket? Like, you know, like, how is he going to be able to, like, he's been moving really quickly here. And like, a lot of his choices have been awful, but some of them have been, you know.
It's so funny. Last time we podcasted about Succession, I remember I had some three-dimensional theories that podcast as well. Yeah. I remember thinking to myself, I can't wait for my crazy idea theories to come true. So Josh Wigler will say that Dom's a genius.
Well, the problem is that I would have to remember him.
Yeah, yeah. Well, none of them came true. So you don't have to worry about that.
All right. So everyone disregard this podcast too.
But can I ask you a question also? At the end of season two, when Kendall did do the press conference and bury his father, we see Logan Roy close up and he's got the stupid grin. Like, it's almost a sense of satisfaction that his son actually is a killer. Yes. Right.
Yeah.
So I thought that would be the point of him handing it over.
He does. I mean, he does. Well, then that's the end of the show, you know? Yeah, so like, it can't be that.
Yeah.
I think like what that smile kind of like bears out as to me is when he's like, he's trying to call him, you know, when Kendall's in the car and he's like talking to him through poor Jess, the intermediary. And he says like, that was a good play. You know, like he's like impressed with the play. He's like, now go and say like, you, what is Kendall's like that? I ate like bad grocery store sushi.
Right.
Like, go out there, say like, you made a mistake. Come on back. We'll work out something new. And so, like, I think, like, the pride is like, okay, he took a pretty good shot, a decent move.
It's almost like he's excited. It's almost like he's excited because he gets to battle his son some more.
There does seem to be, like, some element to which, like, this is the only way he can, like, love his kids. What are they going to find in the raid? Like, is the, like, for the Titanic metaphor is pretty obvious with the cruise ship and everything, iceberg dead ahead. But, like, is the cruise scandal, Dom, is this the tip of the iceberg? Because like Logan tells Shiv in this episode that like, you're not going to find something on a piece of paper where you're not going to be proud of your dad anymore. Right. But like, how many like hundreds of thousands
emails
of skeletons are in the inbox? Yeah. Like when the FBI raid, like how bad is the raid?
That's a good question
for Logan's side of things.
Yeah. Because like you said, his name is probably on hundreds or thousands of documents that can most likely incriminate him. Yeah. It's going to end up, that's what I'm saying, it's going to be so bad that there's going to have to be some package deal here, right?
Yeah.
He's not walking out of this thing alive, no matter how much he says, oh, I don't read my emails or whatever he told Shiv. There's going to be some dirt in there. And I'm sure there's going to be some additional dirt that we haven't even, hasn't come to our attention yet.
That's
what
I'm saying. It's like, what hasn't even been on our radar because been introduced in the show.
Yeah, like where could they go with that? And I think, I mean,
a lot of options.
Who was like the head of all the dirtiness? This guy, Mo Lester.
Yeah, Mo Lester. Yeah.
And he's dead now, right?
Yeah, he's gone. He's gone.
But
that could be bad. There could be a lot of bad stuff. Looking through it,
so funny what you just said earlier, like a minute ago. You said that it's true. I think you nailed it when you said, I think it's the only way he could love his kids is when they're
on the battlefield.
They're on
love
the battlefield.
Is a battlefield now.
That's a good point. It's almost, it's exactly what it seems like. He only respects his children when they step up and come at him and, you know, try to prove themselves to him.
Yeah.
But it's not, it doesn't seem to work for all of them.
No. Your Survivor castmate James had said compare the Succession characters to Survivor Ghost Island contestants. I think the only one that Jeff Probst is Logan Roy.
Yeah, that's like I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah. Like
I know there's really no one else you can.
No, it doesn't really map. It doesn't really map doesn't as map. Well. You know,
I mean, we could hurt feelings, right?
Yeah,
now,
but we don't need to, we don't need to do that right now. We can talk offline. Last one from Nicole. Just let Dominic know he's awesome.
Yes, I saw that. That Dominic, was very nice. Awesome.
What else did we talk about? Anything succession wise that you want to get off your chest? You're loving it, though. You're enjoying season.
Yeah,
three.
Absolutely, I'm loving it, and it's fun talking to you because you do kind of open my eyes to some things I may not have seen. You know,
yeah,
and that's good because this is a really complex show, and you can miss it. You can miss a small detail here or there, and then it might give you a completely different perspective of what's going on. Yeah, you gotta
pay attention. You're missing something.
Yeah, you know? I'm happy. I'm really happy. I do rewatch these episodes because, like I said earlier, if you don't, you're gonna miss a lot the first time around.
Yeah.
And it's helpful because when the show's this well written. And this complex, that's what makes it fun because you really get invested and dive into it. And, you know, that's what makes like looking forward to the next episode. Like, holy shit, what's going to be the outcome of all these, you know, scenarios that they put themselves in. So I absolutely am loving it. And I more than that loved talking to you about it, buddy.
My absolute pleasure. This is so much fun. It was an absolute blast. I got to catch up on Morning Show.
Yes.
A morning.
How far are you? How far along are you?
I've done the whole first season and I haven't watched any season two yet. So no season two
yet.
Some headlines that are hard to avoid over the past little while. So I do know like a thing, but I'm not going to repeat the thing for anyone here who isn't caught up on the Morning Show.
Well, I'm not going to talk about details of the characters,
yeah.
But I do want to give one little thing that's really has me tuned in.
Yeah.
And it's that season two takes off in like December 2019.
Okay, yeah.
So think where you are in that time of your life.
Oh, I
and
as remember.
You know what I'm saying? And you start to hear hints of COVID on the other side of the world.
Yeah.
And it kind of brings you back to reliving that news as it was coming in and how people were blowing it off in America. Like, yeah, whatever. It's not a problem over here. And so it's really interesting to go back there.
I have a very vivid memory of, I think, like February 2020 of, I believe it was the film director, Scott Derrickson, who made the Doctor Strange movie and a bunch of horror movies, who I think he had like a tweet that I'm getting the exact quote wrong, but he was like, I think this COVID thing is going to be a pretty major story. And like that like lives rent free in my head, that like February 2020 tweet of like, yeah, I think it was a pretty big story. Like, I think that ended up being relatively important.
And it's funny you say that, too, because I remember a moment talking to my brother. Yeah. And I always thought, like, my brother was kind of like a conspiracy theorist, you know? Yeah. So I remember him. We were at my mother's. My mother is a leap year baby.
Yeah.
So we were celebrating her birthday, February 29th. And that's kind of not that early in the process. It's kind of things have been developing at that point. And him just putting like the fear of God into me. Yeah. And I'm like, dude, why do you do that all the time? You just like love to put fear in people. I'm like, we're fine. Relax. Everything's going to be okay. The problem is he doesn't let me live that down, that he was right about that. Now I got to listen to every other conspiracy theory that's going on in his head. And I just don't have the capacity for it.
All right. Well, does he watch Succession? I hope that some of your Succession conspiracy theories come true so you can rub it in his face.
It sounds like I am a conspiracy theorist myself, right?
Your 3D theories. I want to see some of them happen.
3D theories are happening.
Succession's coming back Sunday night. Before that, Kieran Culkin, Roman Roy, is hosting Saturday night Night Live this weekend.
Oh, sweet.
What do we think? How many Succession sketches? Just the one? Will they go in on, like, they'll do the one Succession sketch? Or is this going to be, like, they're not going to be able to avoid, like, doing a bunch of different Succession things?
That's a good question.
They're going to get a cameo, right? Brian Cox has to show up and,
that'd,
like,
be awesome.
And say F off on, like, Network
TV.
I
think he should do a skit where he, like, plays, like, a Home Alone kid and tries to do it better than his brother or
like
something.
I like that. I think that would be good. Dom, where are you on the internet? You're cooking up a storm on Instagram. If anyone's into, like, food porn, you've got it.
Yeah, my interests have shifted from the Survivor world into a new cooking world.
A healthy choice.
I mean, I play with both, but my current interest...
Healthy might not be the right word.
Yeah, definitely not healthy.
Yeah.
I'm on Instagram. I don't even know what the hell is
your
Instagram?
You're a body Dominic on Twitter.
Yeah, that changed because I actually canceled my Twitter last year and then I rebooted it. But they don't Twitter
do you,
doesn't.
Do you regret canceling it or do you regret coming back?
It changes. Both.
The answer changes.
Both. I regret canceling because I didn't realize I was going to lose my information.
Yeah.
And it's good. Like, you should always have a history of your dialogue, you know, for better or for worse. I think it's kind of important to have it. Yeah. But it's also, I'm happy I canceled it because it was a nice, mental break from the crazy Twitter world. Yeah. And then my Instagram is, Dominic_Abate.
Yeah, delete the app on your phone next time. Don't delete the whole thing.
I know. I was having one of those moments. I'm like,
that's a really uncharacteristic like boomer moment from you. What are you doing?
I know.
Like, what are you doing? Where are you from? 1945.
I thought,
like,
everything
what
was
you burning your whole account. Crazy person.
That's like forgetting Sarah Marshall. You have to. You didn't. I didn't do a proper permanent delete.
No, you didn't. You really didn't. Dom, amazing having you on here. Whenever Ted Lasso season 3 comes back, we'd love to pick your brain.
Oh, I would love to come on that. That's a much more uplifting.
We'll find a way. Oh, well, sometimes it gets a little dark there too. You know,
you're right. I'll be honest with you. One of the most comforting episodes of Ted Lasso is when he had a panic attack. I was like, "Wow, he's human.
It's
normal."
It's true. It's right? true. Yeah. Like, and everyone, a lot of people responded to it with like extreme kindness. It's like, we need some more of that. That's really
good. You're not kidding.
All right, Dom. Really amazing having you on here. Succession continues, season 3, episode 4. What's the next one called? Let's do a quick look. Of what we're getting into on Sunday night. Lion in the Meadow. Oh,
Whew.
Well, that sounds dangerous. So we'll see how that all plays out. We'll be back on Monday with more Succession coverage. Until then, everybody take care. Bye-bye. Oh, this is where I say F off!